This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And I've got part 3 of chapter 9 of Vatican Ambassador coming up on this episode. Had to divide the chapter down into 3 parts because it was over an hour long as recorded. It's a bunch of pages long, of course, in the book. Written book. The printed book. You know what I mean. Part 3, though. Finally, we've come to part 3 on this week's episode of Glow in the Dark Radio as BC's peace conference continues at Lunar Prime on the moon. It's heading towards its end with the conclusion of this chapter. Will BC have anything to show for his efforts? Nothing so far. Although Richard Wentworth just revealed that the UIN really didn't nuke Jerusalem 40 years back. So we're going to pick up a conversation between BC and Wentworth as we get into part 3 of chapter 9 on this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. If you'd like to get the book you are listening to as an ebook, you can do so for free this month. I've got a special coupon code for podcast listeners only. So I'm only telling you about this. It's an ebook coupon for podcast listeners for Vatican Ambassador. Get it for free. You head to smashwords.com and use the code RS59X. And Smashwords has ebooks in every format: TXT, PDB, LRF, RTF, PDF, MOBI, EPUB, whatever you use, they've got it. So again, just go to smashwords.com and look up me, Mike Luoma, MikeLuoma, or Vatican Ambassador, and you'll be able to use that coupon and get the ebook for free. About half of them are gone. I've got about half of the redemptions gone at this point, so you might want to act soonish. You can go right to smashwords.com/books/view/2019. But it's easier probably just to go to smashwords.com and look for Vatican Ambassador. Or follow the link in the show notes. Once again, a big thank you to my patrons who helped to keep the podcast going. If you want to find out more about becoming a patron, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. And a reminder, if you have a chance, please review any books you've read wherever you picked up that book. If you have a chance to leave some stars and leave a great review, that is golden. And I appreciate everyone who already has. I was asking last week, so I've seen a couple of new ones this week. Thank you. Coming up next, we're going to get into part 3 of chapter 9 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Thank you.
And now, here's part three of Chapter 9 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio.
They probably didn't nuke Jerusalem.
Really? Now this is news.
BC goes on. Do tell, he says, gesturing at the room's electronic walls. After all, no one else will hear. Are you going to tell me we did it?
No, Wentworth laughs. Not by a long shot. Our best guess is that it was Hindu extremists, separatists looking to frame the Muslims and provide a conflict with the West.
No shit, BC says.
Not sure if I believe that. The war went out of control after Jerusalem. Whoever did it got their conflict, if that was what they wanted. How long have we known the Muslims didn't do it?
BC asks Wentworth. How long have we known that?
Not that long, Wentworth says. We have a record of a deathbed confession from one of the guys involved. He died of old age about 17 years ago. We found out about the confession about 10 years ago.
BC is stunned and amazed.
I can't believe this.
Why not reveal this to the general public? BC asks. The whole war is...
The whole war, Wentworth interrupts, won't be affected by us revealing this fact. The UIN knew it before we did, and they didn't reveal it either. We only found out when we turned one of their operatives. It would be nice if it did make a difference, Wentworth says. I'm just telling you it won't. We're already too far in. There's already too much lost on both sides. Too much blood.
That's always it, isn't it? Blood begets blood, BC muses.
Now you're sounding downright biblical, Campion. Are you sure you haven't gone soft? Gone native with the church?
Wentworth chides him. Don't you think making this public would get the people to back a peace initiative? This could be just the thing to jumpstart the peace process, BC says.
Damn, Campion. Now you sound like a bloody diplomat. We can't let the public know now. It's been too long. We've known it too long and kept it from them for too long. They'll hate us because we didn't let them know for 10 years. And consider this, Campion. If they find out it was Hindus, then maybe they'll start killing Hindus. Most of the Hindus now live up here on the moon. So maybe Lunar Prime gets nuked in retaliation. Huh. Blood does beget blood, like it or not, Campion. You fond of that scenario?
Wentworth asks him. Not exactly, BC says. Seems extreme to me.
A good rule about human behavior, Campion, Wentworth leans in. People are extreme. You almost can't be too extreme in your predictions. People always manage to take things further than you can possibly imagine. Never expect people to stay well-behaved and predictable, Wentworth says.
He finishes his dispensation of insight and leans back. No one is completely predictable, but most people are mostly predictable, BC counters.
Damn, that sounded lame. Tried to at least sound intelligent, BC, huh?
Just because you, Wentworth points at him, are completely predictable, doesn't mean everyone else is.
Shift gears and topics.
Anyway, Wentworth, BC says, give some thought to what the UTZ might be willing to give up to the UIN. Maybe something we can use this time. BC pauses for a moment, thinking. And as for people's reactions, you've been in business long enough to know it's all in the packaging, right? Their reception is highly dependent on how we sell it to them, BC points out. We need to try everything this time. Nobody is getting what they want through violence anymore. You said it yourself. It's no longer profitable. Wentworth nods his concession. So let's try to get a truce done, BC says, bringing the conversation back around. Let's make it official, make a start, and give people some hope.
Listen to you, Wentworth says, with an ironic laugh. This is a whole different agenda for you, Campion. You're serious about this.
Figure it out, Wentworth. Too many people have died, will die, if we don't make some progress here.
But you kill people!
Wentworth puts it right in BC's face. BC grimaces. Not so much anymore. And when I did, it was under orders from the Pope and the OPO, which I'm sure in some way, ultimately, means from and for you, right? Wentworth doesn't respond. I killed people who in some way deserve to die, BC says. I was just the instrument of divine judgment. That's what I tell myself so I can sleep at night.
Pretty flimsy rationalization, Wentworth prods him.
Somewhere along the way, someone decided that when someone does something heinous enough, commits a crime against society bad enough, society has a right to end that someone's life, BC says. When society's judgment is passed, society requires executioners to carry out that judgment. These executioners are not murderers themselves, but the instrument of society and God's will. I have been an executioner, I'll grant you that. You, BC says, nodding at Wentworth with a by the way, who passed those very judgments, by the way.
I'm glad you can live with yourself, Campion, but what does...
BC interrupts Wentworth this time. It's innocent people who are dying in this war all the time. The original UTZ massacre of the Muslims on Mars, the whole UIN Christmas offensive that killed the Cardinal and Reverend Swan, and all the other ordinary people who are just trying to go about their business. Too many people are dying, Wentworth. BC knows he's not the most eloquent, but he presses on. Let's see if we can slow it down, huh? BC suggests. Why the fuck not? Do you want to die?
Not especially, but I could live with it.
Wentworth laughs at his own wordplay.
I'm not afraid of dying, Campion.
Are you? Not afraid of it, BC says. I'm just not in any hurry to die. I am afraid of morons willing to kill innocent people, though. There are too many morons too quick on the trigger, no matter their underlying ideology. It doesn't matter what motivates the morons. Motivated morons lead to fatal mistakes. Give the morons a reason, and they'll call for blood and demand the kill.
Are you calling the men and women of our armed forces morons, Campion? That's a bit...
No, not at all, BC clarifies. I'm talking about the society that sends them into battle. The soldiers are just instruments, like I was.
Oh.
Wentworth pauses, steeples his fingers together in front of his mouth.
So, then, I'm the moron.
Not what I meant, BC says. But you're not above using them, manipulating the morons. You do it all the time. You make money off of them, influence their buying habits.
So, consumers are morons, Wentworth says. I thought they were innocents.
You try to make them morons, BC presses. Turn their innocence into ignorance. They consume less problematically when they're kept stupid. They ask fewer pointed questions. It's beneficial to your business.
So, the masses are morons to you, eh, Campion? Whatever happened to love your neighbor?
Wentworth laughs. I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but he's a moron, BC says. Makes it tough. That's the big challenge as I see it. Gotta love the morons.
Well, you shouldn't fear the morons. Fear is dangerous, Campion. It gives them, the morons, power over you. Don't fear them, control them. Motivate them to your ends, don't you see? Keep them busy, occupied, out of trouble, and out of your hair.
So, Wentworth, do you control them? Do you think you do? Because you were saying how unpredictable they were just a few minutes ago.
And you were calling them innocents. Now they're morons. Which is it? I said I try to control them. I do my best. Your church used to be an excellent means of control, a wonderful tool for motivating the masses. Which, by the way, is why we're currently at something of a loss, since your Pope withdrew his UTZ support. Current circumstances give us less control. Speaking of less control, Wentworth pauses, I don't see your new Pope exerting much control of his own. That means that these days, there's not as much control over the masses. The morons, as you call them. Period. These days, the morons are on their own. That does make them more dangerous. Maybe you're right to show a little fear, Campion.
I've got to believe that for all his supposed ignorance, Pope Linus knows all this stuff on some level, BC admits. Which is maybe why we're all here this weekend, eh?
Circular, Campion,
Wentworth compliments him.
So, you think your Pope is finally starting to try to control his morons, is that it?
Maybe, in a way, BC admits. He seems to prefer to be inscrutable, BC cracks. I can tell you he was none too happy about our chumminess. It wasn't until after you brought me to the UTZ council meeting in the spring that I even got to meet with him, remember? He asks about our relationship quite a bit. He thinks I'm your man, I think.
Ironic,
Wentworth says.
Well then, maybe you really are neutral, Campion. Maybe you are the right man for this job. Although, from what I happened to overhear earlier, you'll need to improve your communication skills with the good Muhammad ibn al-Sir.
Yeah, that didn't go so well. Believe me, I'm working on it. Let me ask you again, BC says, changing the subject. What does the UTZ need for a truce? Wentworth fixes his stare on BC.
Like I said, we want peace,
Wentworth says.
We need guaranteed security for our investments and business interests. We want to be safe. I might not fear death, but that doesn't mean I invite it. The UIN stands for destabilizing all of that. It's part of what they are. How do you change that? We'd like them to stop, but they don't. They won't. It's part of their religion. They need to dominate, to have everyone else believe as they do, or die and get out of their way. Still very primitive in some ways. Tribal. They're the aggressors. At this point, we're just asking them to stop.
This is going nowhere.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, BC tells him. I'm going to go now, Wentworth, and consider what you've told me tonight. I'll sleep on it. We'll see if we can make any headway when the negotiations begin tomorrow.
Sure you can't stay for a drink or something, Campion?
Wentworth offers. Nah, I try to avoid drinking. Seems it gives me headaches.
Wentworth laughs. Subtle. Well, then, good night, acting ambassador.
Good night, Representative Wentworth, BC says. A thought hits him. What about the McIntyre thing?
Leave that to my people,
Wentworth says, a hint of menace in his voice.
We'll see what we can find on the two of them. See if we have a weapon to use against Mr. McIntyre.
Man, the guy can sound legitimately scary.
Okay, then. Good night, Wentworth, BC says.
Good night, Campion.
BC makes his way out of the secure room, out of Wentworth's suite, and back to the Vatican mission, with his mind buzzing with ideas and information.
Still, could not get Wentworth to come up with anything the UTZ would give up for peace. Really don't know if al-Sir is even taking this seriously. Any of it. Or me. All I can do is hope for the best. And get some sleep.
At home in the mission, BC locks his rooms for the night, finds his way into bed, and lies down to sleep a hopeful sleep. The next 2 days fly by, a flurry of meetings, discussions, arguments, and attempts at true dialogue. The high-level players exchange pleasantries and talk in generalities, while the career diplomats meet to outline possible compromises. BC gets frustrated when he can't get the top-level representatives, al-Sir and Wentworth, to meet face-to-face on the second day of the conference, but the lower-level talks continue all the same. On day 3, BC finally gets Wentworth, al-Sir, and himself, alone, together, to hash things out. Well, BC asks the other two men, can we all at least agree to sign a statement confirming that we all seek a lasting peace?
We do want peace, al-Sir agrees.
Well,
Wentworth says. He then pauses, then continues.
Well, of course we do.
Look,
BC tells the two combatants. I didn't think we'd come out of here with any concessions in territory or in positions. But I did hope we could at least reassure people that we actually really did want to try to work out our differences peacefully.
No concessions?
But they joint statement, Alcir asks.
Do you think this will have any weight?
I do, BC insists. Alcir looks the question over to Wentworth.
People are funny,
Wentworth says with a quick laugh.
I think he's right,
Wentworth says with a nod in BC's direction. What about visitations? Travel restrictions? BC asks.
Token gestures,
Alcir says, waving BC's suggestions away with a sweep of his hand.
Too complicated to work,
Wentworth says, in dismissal of the ideas.
Stubborn, pig-headed, mulish.
Let's give the declaration some teeth, BC says. Your people, BC indicates Alcir, have already agreed to ease some travel restrictions to Mars if the UTZ will do the same and allow for a visitation to holy sites on Earth. Your people, BC says to Wentworth, have agreed on the easing of the travel restrictions, but not the site visitations.
That is correct, Alcir says. Yes, you're right,
Wentworth reluctantly agrees. Where do you want to go? BC asks Alcir.
Where?
Alcir asks.
Well, some places have been destroyed, but there are still many holy places on Earth.
How about a top five? BC asks.
A top five? Alcir asks. Are you serious?
Absolutely, BC says. He waves his arms. Don't tell me what they are now. Have your people come up with a top five list of places you want visitation rights to and bring it to the table. Wentworth?
Yes, Campion.
Can't the UTZ allow Muslims to visit five of their holy sites?
I guess it depends on where the five are located, what they are, Wentworth says. But five is not an unreasonable number.
So, BC proposes, we put together a declaration that says all sides are intent on working together, going forwards towards peace. And as a symbol of our intention to work together, both sides agree to further ease the already agreed-upon scaling back of travel restrictions, and the UTZ also agrees to allow Muslim visitation of five holy sites that we'll determine here shortly. If we put all that into a declaration, will you two sign it? BC asks, hopeful. There is silence in the room. BC looks from Alcir to Wentworth. Wentworth looks at BC, and then Alcir.
If you'll sign, we'll sign, Wentworth says to Alcir.
We'll sign, but no concessions, Alcir says.
No concessions, Wentworth agrees.
BC smiles. Fantastic! Was that so hard? BC asks the two men. Can we shake on it? The three stand and shake hands, finding some common cause despite their differences. Great, BC says. I'll get the guys to write it up so we can sign it.
BC has his people draw up the documents once the negotiations have been finalized, once the career diplomats have dotted the I's and crossed the T's. As a grand finale to the peace conference, BC arranges for the three of them to make a public display of signing the declaration and shaking hands. At the end of the conference, there actually seems to be some common ground between the sides. The intangible result of the conference is a melting of the icy, resolute, pig-headed determination to be right that both sides once held dear. The tangible result is the signed declaration, an official agreement to at least start looking for ways to cooperate, ways to budge a little on both sides, to try to find a way to peace.
Now I have a declaration of, well, something. How about that?
To the surprise of most of the parties involved, and maybe to BC most of all, the conference is actually deemed a success. As the news breaks, the media and spokespeople on all sides discuss the conference in glowing terms. BC has his hope. The picture of the three-way handshake between BC, Wentworth, and Alcier is displayed on all the public news screens as BC walks with Alcier a few steps ahead of Wentworth to the Lunar Prime spaceport on Tuesday morning. At the gate, BC shakes Ibn Alcier's hand again. The Arab bows, turns, and strolls off to his waiting ship.
That went better than I could have expected. My head still aches, but we have a truce. Alcier is not a bad guy when it comes right down to it. Just feels like his people have gotten the short end of the stick for 200 years. He's not far from the truth, either. Hell, they don't even have a place on their own homeworld. Well, visitation rights are a start. Hard enough getting that out of the UTZ, given their security concerns. Harder still to get the UIN to see it as anything but a token gesture. But they did. It's a beginning. Hey, is that McIntyre? I wonder what's up with...
Daniel McIntyre looks over at BC. When their eyes meet, McIntyre looks away quickly. He takes off in the opposite direction.
Now that's interesting. I think he actually blushed. What has Wentworth been up to? Speak of the devil.
Campion!
Wentworth! BC strides over to meet the approaching CEO and shakes his hand. Thank you for giving this peace thing a chance.
Thank you for having the balls to approach this thing on a different level, Wentworth says firmly. I like your straight talk, Campion. Oh, and you'll like a little talk we had with Mr. McIntyre. It's funny when you turn on the lights how all the rats go scurrying, Wentworth says. Your peace deal won't be the only news breaking on Lunar Prime this week, if all goes as I believe it will. How well do you know the Lieutenant Governor, this Amanda Erskine?
I've met her a few times, talked to her a little, BC says. She seems level-headed, apparently neutral. Why? Wentworth smiles a Cheshire Cat smile, but says nothing. He turns and walks away without another word, disappearing down the passageway to his ship.
Wentworth must have worked over McIntyre. Did he get the security videos? Did he leak the stuff on McIntyre?
BC suddenly finds himself thinking of Fiza and feels guilty for his friendliness towards Wentworth.
I conveniently forgot about Fiza while I tried to make this conference work, while I was working with Wentworth. It was good to be on his side, see how he does business. Would not want to be on the opposing side from him. Although, maybe I am. This thing with Fiza and him could end badly. Shit, think of all the things he could leak about me. Gotta face it, when it comes to Wentworth and Fiza, there's not much I can do for her, even now. Pathetic. And to think, I almost started to like the guy. Not to trust him, but still. I do have to deal with him, but can't forget what he's capable of.
That was part 3 of Chapter 9 of Vatican Ambassador on Glow in the Dark Radio. OBC got something out of the peace conference. It's not really clear if the joint statement really means anything, but it is a tangible result to point to. So what's next? What's the next step? BC's going to have to try to figure that out, and he'll be doing so when we get into Chapter 10 of Vatican Ambassador on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder to check the show notes for the link to smashwords.com. To get a free ebook, the book you're listening to, Vatican Ambassador, is available as a free ebook for podcast listeners with the ebook coupon code RS59X. And again, check the show notes to get the link to go get that book for free. Please star and review books if you have a chance, wherever you picked up my books along the way. It's a big help. And a thank you to those who have. A thank you as well, a big thank you to our glow-in-the-dark radio patrons who help keep the podcast going. If you want to get involved, I'd love to have you. Find out more at patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and follow the link to Patreon. And that is all for this episode. We'll find out what BC is going to do next in Chapter 10 next time around. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.